Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to 2020 preparation for ordination. We are excited that this is moving forward. It is moving forward, and we're really getting the meat of the training under our belt now. We're going to some of the, we've done the introductions and that sort of thing. And so now we're going to dig in and get all that God has for us from this, our gathering. I was interesting because it's not giving me the studio that I needed to give me. I pray everyone is on speaker. So if there's a man here, can you please open us up in prayer? I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that Elder Carter is on the line. Excuse me. I'm not sure if he's not on speaker. So, Elder, if you could just give me a moment to try to. I was on, and then all of a sudden it kicked me off. So, yep. Hold on. Opening up all the lines. Okay. So, is there a man on the line that can open us up in prayer? Otherwise, we'll.
Yes. This is Pastor Winslow. I can pray if you'd like me to.
Yes, I would love for you to, Pastor. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Almighty and everlasting Father and Sovereign Lord, we come now giving you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory, and we thank you for this beautiful opportunity to come together, to have the word fulfilled in our heart and be a part in the path of the plan that you have for those who are taking this journey. We ask, Lord Heavenly Father, that all those involved be given the wisdom and be guided by your Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord Heavenly Father, that as we have a part in this mission and in this journey, that we forever give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, for truly it is a rare opportunity. And we forever give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. And we're going to impose on you to give us an opening word of encouragement as an alumni of this process, as an accountability partner in this process. What would you say to this class in this stage of their ordination?
One of the things that I would say is that it's a process that has an outcome that you can't believe. That's so wonderful. It's like a fulfillment of an individual hope, and it's a process and a journey that you weren't even aware that you started on. The amazing part is that this journey started a long time ago in our lives, but now we all end up having our part in that journey. And so I'm gonna tell people and everybody involved not to be discouraged. Take it step by step. But God is truly a merciful God, and though the journey looks like it should be a 40-day journey and looks like it's going to take 40 years, it really is a short journey.
Amen.
And my accountability partner just was there for me, and this process is a process about your individual growth and an opportunity to come to know who you are in God, and for God to know who you are. Those are the things,
amen,
that I've learned from this process.
Amen.
And my wife,
amen,
is listening to me and still learning.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. And we would like for our alumni from time to time to give a word, to give a an encouragement, to give a rebuke, okay? Whatever sometimes is necessary to get us moving, that's what we want to be found sharing. And I do want to thank everyone who has really kicked in your process. You have bombarded me with your information. It is awesome. That becomes my great privilege to read your story, to look at your profiles and to see what God is doing and how that is molding this class. And so it is a very exciting time, which is one of the reasons I want you guys to send me your stuff, you know, because it really, it makes good reading. It really does. And I pray that you are collecting your information so that you are building a portfolio that will include all of the things that you are doing and that are going to be required of you. And then you have will have prepared your own personal manual. I encourage you to outline the weeks that are rough and why and what your solution to it is, what kickstarts you when you're ready to just throw the towel in, because it's those kinds of things that needs to be shared in each year of candidates, because everybody is going to experience some level of the same things that you are experiencing. So I thank you all for coming through. I have two of the candidates that are just triple A, and I love it. Okay? Everyone else gets the A, you know, and you know. But those two candidates are on it, and I really love that fire that's in them, and I know that God is going to bless you for it. And so at this point, we want to see what committee member is on the line so that they can bring you their aspect of your training for today. We have the training and the accountability partner, as well as sharing the assignments that you guys are going to have and the date that you're going to have it so that you may ask questions and get clarity on what will be expected of you. We are also going to look at a brief view of your garment, vestment paperwork that you saw, and prepare for Apostle Hook's questions that you may have for him if he's on the line. And then we will give the floor over to Archbishop Isaac, who is going to highlight the office of the elder, the office of the eldership today. So we want you to take your notes and be prepared. So we will call on, I pray that Apostle KP also is on the line representing the AEN and that ministry that's connecting the candidates to the membership base of AEN with various ministry tips and communication. So we want to start with Elder Sharita, who will give you an outline of where we are and where we're going. Elder Sharita?
Good evening, everyone. And again, welcome to the 2020 ordination preparation process. We are asking everyone to avail themselves to the weekly one-hour presentation training meetings. The meetings will be held every Thursday from now until August 2020 via Blog Talk Radio. To connect to this meeting, you can call 619-924-0684. And then we do ask that you call 15 minutes prior to start time, as this might help with the connectivity. If you are not able to call in, you can log on to Blog Talk at www.blogtalkradio.com/LFC-WordLifeCenter. And then you can also log onto this website at any time to go to Becoming a Voice and Not an Echo, the on-demand episode section, to listen to current and past ordination meetings and presentations. And then just in the case that there are technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, we have provided an alternate conference number for everyone to call. And that alternate number is 605-475-3235, access code 449895. And this information has been emailed to you as well. And then just on a special note, if you are calling in from a number other than the one that you provided at the beginning of this process, please text that new number to Overseer at 630-701-4303 so that you can be counted in for attendance. And then candidates, I believe Overseer mentioned this a little bit earlier, but keep in mind that you are building your portfolio. Remember to have a journal slash notebook on hand to take notes, write down assignments, and write down anything that the Lord is revealing to you throughout this process. Be sure to keep a copy of all of the requirements that you are submitting. This, along with any assignments given, will be required during your 3-day ordination track. And then this week's presentation will be on the Office of Eldership, coming from our very own Archbishop, Dr. Nathaniel Isaac. You will learn what this office looks like within the AEN and what it looks like in the kingdom. And then candidates, and really for everyone, you should have received the Episcopal vestment document. It was attached to the ordination preparation meeting reminder that was sent on yesterday. This document gives a description of each office, and it gives pictures of the garments required for each office. And then also be on the lookout for the vestment training video in the upcoming weeks. And then also for candidates and accountability partners, please review the guidelines and report schedule that was also emailed to you on yesterday as an attachment. And then remember to submit your interpersonal assessment forms by the end of each month to Overseer. And that is the form where you are evaluating each other's spiritual development, productivity, and personal development. And for candidates, just as a reminder that if any of you still have requirements from phase one that still need to be submitted, please contact Overseer immediately to inform her when you anticipate turning those requirements in. And then as we are now in phase two of this process, you have a little over a month to go to submit all of the requirements for phase two in. And those requirements are your conversion statement. This was actually due on March 14th. So if you haven't had the opportunity to turn that in, you do want to get that in. And then due in 2 days on March 28th is your mission statement and your vision statement. And then followed by what ministry has God called you to, which is due on April 4th. Define this calling based on scripture, due on April 4th. And then identify and write a review of all scriptures and any supporting resources that define your role and your qualifications for that calling. That is due April 18th. And then how will your ministry look? Who, where, and how are you called to serve? And that is due on April 25th. Again, those are just dates to give you so that you can submit it in a timely manner, but all of phase two is due by April 30th. And then all of these requirements are to be submitted to Overseer Paulette Thornton at pc_thornton@yahoo.com. And then lastly, just from Laborers for Christ Ministries, due to the global pandemic, if you or someone you know is in need of food, necessities, toilet paper, and or paper towels, you can please reach out to us at 773-779-2900, or you can email Sherita_Tate@yahoo.com. That's Sherita_Tate@yahoo.com. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, well, if not, I will leave you back in the hands of Overseer Paulette.
Elder Sharita?
Yes.
Would you like me to go ahead? Doing the answers?
Sure.
Okay. Good evening for all of the candidates as well as the accountability partners. Elder Sharita alluded to the fact that there was a document and attachment that you guys should have received on last evening or sometime on yesterday. I just wanted to reiterate exactly what that is. There is one document that is a multi-page document that talks about accountability that is basically dealing with the purpose, the plan, an overview. It's really self-explanatory, but it gives information on both sides, the requirements and the expectations for the candidates as well as the accountability partners. So I'm hoping that you have that in front of you. If not, please feel free to, it's a PDF document, to either download it or print it, whatever is convenient for you. But even more importantly than that, because that information has been shared verbally, there is a document that is a report out. We have been talking about elements of accountability that are mentioned in the scriptures, and it's 13 characteristics that have been pulled out, and it is regarding your behavior, your mindset, and warfare. Galatians 2 and 20 reminds us that our life is not our own. So what we want to do with these 13 scriptures, I would suggest that if you have the opportunity, and because we have been ordered to shelter in place, this might be a time for many of us to look at the entire list. But for this purpose, we are only asking you to prepare one of the scriptures. So there is a document that has the date, the characteristic or the theme, the context, the scripture, and the candidate and their accountability partner. This will start on Thursday, April 2nd, and it will go through July 9th. My apologies, because I sent this out initially and it was only going to June 25th. I had inadvertently omitted two of the candidates. So if perchance you have the one that ends on June 25th, know that we will get the one out to you that ends on July 9th. Everything is the exact same. It's just that the two candidates that were omitted on that first document that I submitted, and like I said, once again, I apologize, they were added. So for April 2nd, which will be our first report out, the characteristic is joyful and prayerful. This is April 2nd, characteristic joyful and prayerful. The scripture is coming from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. The candidate that would be responsible is R. Carter Thomas, and his accountability partner, Bibbins. And that format is that the accountability partner will briefly introduce the candidate and the scripture text. And when I say briefly, we're talking 1 to 2 minutes. We don't want you to teach or expound on the scripture, but just maybe one nugget about that scripture text or how the Lord has impressed you during this process. We want to keep it in the vein of accountability. We know that the word is rich and fluid, and it meets our needs wherever we are. But we're looking at this from the lens of accountability. So the accountability partner will briefly introduce the candidate, give us the name, what they do, maybe something about them. This is 1 to 2 minutes. Then the candidate will share their insights and show the application of that element or characteristic as it relates to the accountability process. And we're looking at 5 to 7 minutes, expecting 5 to 7 minutes. So we want you to look at that scripture, delve into it, and then give us a practical application of how that is being the Lord is working with you. Any revelation, any insight, anything that you've discovered along this process. to the time allotted, that 1 to 2 minutes for the accountability partner, as well as the 5 to 7 minutes for the candidate. I put a little asterisk there saying time allotted is subject to change, because we're trying to pack a lot into these 1 hour sessions. But if you can at least be prepared for that amount of time, I don't think that there should be a problem. So April 2nd will be the first candidate who will be responding, and we should have everything going after then.
Any questions for? Oh, I'm sorry, Elvis. Go ahead.
Let me just say this. I'm seeing something that's coming across indicating that the report out document, and it may have seemed like it was attached because they were both in that same email. If you don't have that attachment, that will be forthcoming. It is there. It may have been blended in with the other document and not able to be discovered if you're opening, because I'm getting something from Elder Sharita that she didn't see that document, and I think that the overseer, that you had a difficulty in separating the two documents, that PDF and that Google document. So don't be alarmed if that's not in front of you. April 2nd is that first date, and I can, you know, resend that in a moment, and you guys will have that there. But April 2nd will be the first time that we're doing the report out. If there are any questions, you know, you can ask me now or later.
I have a question. This is Pastor Joseph Bibbins.
Yes, sir.
Can you give me those scriptures again? I did not hear the scriptures that it was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, correct?
Yes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And just for the second one, for you guys that are overachievers, April 9th will be surrendered to the process. That's Philippians 4, 5 through 7. That's going to be Lynette Harris and her accountability partner, Parker. And Elder Sharita, I'm going to email that to you again right now. Any more
Amen.
Questions? I will turn it back over to Overseer. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. We're going to move right along to Apostle Hooks so that he can share with us before he has another engagement. So, Apostle, you have the floor.
Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. So just an update. I promised that I would have some information for you all about the investment training, and it looks like with this whole shelter in place thing and the restrictions that they put on gathering out here in the Seattle region, I can't find anybody who would be willing to open up a location so that we could do a recording. I have a videographer who is prepared, but you know, sort of doing it in either her and her husband's home or my home, which, you know, is not the best thing to do. We just don't have a location. The pastor that I thought was going to let us do it there, when I talked to him finally yesterday, he was stuck on April the 6th, which I think is the 2 weeks after the shelter in place had been established and the governor of Washington was allowing people to gather again. So it looks like April the 6th will be the soonest that I will be able to get this thing to going. But what I can say in the interim, because I would still love to do the video, but what I can say in the interim is if there is a need to address any questions or anything like that for the garment, or at least kind of just do a quick survey of the document so that everybody does have an understanding, so that those that want to go ahead and make your purchases can do your purchases. I am definitely open to do that.
Amen. All right, then. Well, Apostle, we'll maybe give the candidates one more week to study their document, and then you can bring a good summary next week as it relates to the offices and their official garments. So we will schedule the in-depth. Okay, perfect. And everybody will have a copy of it. If you don't have a copy, please let myself know, and Elder Sherita will be sure to get it to you, because you really do need to look over it first so that that which is shared, you'll know what we're talking about. You can follow along, and you can ask questions that may arise from it. So thank you so much, Apostle. We definitely appreciate you and your ministry and your gifts and talents. Praise the Lord. And we look forward to that
pleasure.
Video.
Amen. Me too.
We have. Yes. I think we're going to have some interesting things coming for you this year. The AEN and its leaders are developing Zoom-type meetings and settings that we're going to have. They call them town hall. Town hall meetings that we're going to give you some information so you can be a part of that as well, and you can actually see the individuals that you are laboring among and that are laboring for you. And so they'll bring us special presentations of very important information for your preparation. And so it's some exciting things coming along because of this new wave of challenges that's being brought to the world, but it's causing us to grow and develop and to be creative and to come up with some new and innovative things to keep this process alive and relevant and exciting. And so we're really looking forward to that and the video presentation. And so thank you so much, Apostle, and your whole team. And so we will forward to that. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you. So,
all right. Thank you.
I think we're at the point. Yes. Now where if the Archbishop is on the line, I want to share first the individuals that are your office, so that you'll know that he's speaking of the offices of the eldership and those individuals that are up for that. This is an old setting, and that's not good. Elder Sherita, do you have the current one of the those candidates that are up for eldership?
I believe I do.
Amen.
You have Minister Carter, Dr. Carter Thomas. You
mm-hmm.
have Minister Lynette Harris. You
mm-hmm.
have Evangelist Vera Adams.
Amen. Amen. So that information is going forth now from our Archbishop. It's going to be related to them. And as that relates to even the connection between that office and other offices and their responsibility to other offices. So, Archbishop, you have the floor. Good evening.
Amen. You then definitely upgraded it just within the last minute. Amen. Good evening, everybody.
Yeah, I did
do
that, didn't I?
You sure did. You sure
but
did.
But that's why you're the Archbishop, Holly.
All right. Oh, man, good evening, everybody. Even in the midst of everything, I'm just so excited. It's really been a wonderful day today. Just to share with you, you know, I had the opportunity to do a devotion in Chicago today. at the Family Christian Health Center. So it was just unique, using the technology that they had, and so it was just really phenomenal time. And so I just kind of been gloating and seeking God and just enjoying this whole process of everything that's happening. And so the Office of Elders, and once again, we can definitely be interactive with this, and you can ask your questions or stop me as we are definitely going forward, okay? So the Office of Elders, they are appointed and ordained mature individuals. They are appointed, ordained, mature individuals who hold a position of responsibility and or authority as guardians and overseers of the church, okay? Of the church or within the church. I'm going to be reading a bunch of scriptures because I think they're necessary. Acts 14:23, it says simply this. And I'm reading out of the Easy Read version. And so they, so Acts 14, verse 23 says that, well, let me start with 22. In those cities, they helped the followers grow stronger in their faith and encouraged them to continue trusting God. They told them, "We must suffer many things on our way into God's kingdom." They also, in addition to this message, they chose elders for each church, and they stopped eating or fasted for a period of time to pray for them. These elders were men who had put their trust in the Lord Jesus, so Paul and Barnabas put them in the Lord's care. And so what you see here is that as elders are appointed, ordained, and mature individuals, they are chosen for the church, and once they are appointed, the leaders that have appointed them, chosen them, ordained them, they then put them in the trust of the Lord's care. And so they put them in God's care. You ought to submit yourself to God's care, the Lord's care, His teaching. You're serving the Lord, and you're serving His agenda, because the whole goal is that whatever city or church or community or setting you are serving in, our jobs in this order is to help followers grow stronger in their faith. And we have a specific duty to encourage individuals to continue trusting God. And so, which is why the word maturity for elders in the Old Testament becomes important. Because if we have the responsibility to help followers grow stronger in the faith, and we have to encourage them to continue trusting God, when you and I are, or as you are being ordained into this office, then you have a responsibility to be strong in your faith, and you have to continue trusting God, and then move from there. Another scripture is Acts 20. Verse 17. And what it says here, it says, Acts 20, verse 17, in Miletus, Paul sent a message back to Ephesus, telling the elders of the church in Ephesus to come to him. And verse 18 says, when they came, Paul said to them, "You know about my life on the first day I came to Asia. You know the way I live all the time I was with you. The Jews planned things against me, and this gave me much trouble. But you know that I always serve the Lord, sometimes with tears. I never thought about myself first. I always did what was best for you. I told you the good news about Jesus in public before the people and also taught them in your homes. I told everyone, Jewish and non-Jewish people, to change and turn to God. I told them all to believe in the Lord Jesus." And it's interesting because this is one of the charges that Paul was giving the elders of the church in Ephesus. And so one thing elders need to understand, you ought to be submitted somewhere. You ought to be submitted under some form of leadership. You also must have faith within the leader that you are submitted to. And so this way, when your leader is giving a directive or a form of a godly commandment, it is once again designed to help individuals grow and continue to trust in the Lord and to grow in their faith. One of the things you notice in this scripture is that Paul pointed out to these elders, look at my life. And it's one of those things where you look at your leader that you are submitted to. You're looking at the way they are serving God. I think Paul said it this way simply, follow me as I follow Christ. And because you are under the care of the Lord, then what you know about the Lord then will begin to manifest within your leader, and you will see those characteristics, and therefore submission will be no problem. And so, I know back in the day it used to be a time when individuals got ordained, they would just run rampant. They would just leave the church and, start ministries, and they just did not abide by the teaching of the house because they were now ordained. Well, this is a new day, and I think, we have to understand that, God does have an order within the house, and it's not that, God is holding you back from doing what he has called you to do, but there has to be some form of accountability. And you see these in just these few verses that Paul said, gather these leaders together. And so it should be a time that when a leader that you are submitted to calls you, you should make yourself available. Because remember, you are mature. Remember, you are appointed. Remember, you are ordained. Remember, you are, overseers over God's house. You are overseeing these areas of ministry or functions or things or the work of the ministry that needs to be carried out within the house. And you also see the leader in this verse of scripture. He's pointing out to the elders. He says, hey, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for others. And so the work that you do, you're not doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for others so that they can change and turn to God. Another scripture that you see is Titus, and this is Titus verse 1, verse 5. And what it simply reads, once again, I'm reading out the Easy Read version. Paul again says, I left you in Crete so that you could finish doing what still needed to be done. And I also left you there so you could choose men to be elders in every town. And so to be an elder, a man must not be guilty of living in the wrong way. He must be faithful to his wife. Now, I know we got some women on the phone, so it's like, oh, that doesn't apply to me. But I want you to hear it this way. She must be faithful to his wife. And so who is the wife that we're talking about here? We're talking about the bride of Christ. And so, therefore, your faithfulness to his wife and the children that are being produced also must be faithful. So you're overseeing that. You're also seeing the work of the ministry continue. You're also starting to see things in the scripture that says, an elder has the job of taking care of God's work. So people should not be able to say that your life or you're living in a wrong way. You must not be someone who is proud, selfish, or who gets angry quickly. I probably failed in all those categories when I first started. He says also, you must not drink too much, and he must not be someone who likes to fight. He must not be a man who will do almost anything for money. An elder must be ready to help people by welcoming them into their home. He must love what is good. He must be wise. He must live right. He must be devoted to God and pleasing to him. And he must be able to control himself. An elder must be faithful to the same true message that we teach. Then he will be able to encourage others and teaching that is true and right. And he will be able to show those who are against this teaching that they are wrong. And so your life, once you're entering into this office, you're having the benefits of it, and yet the goal is for not you just to have access to the benefits of the office of eldership, but for the benefits of the office of eldership to become you. And so therefore, when I read a book about what an elder is supposed to be and do, I should see your face. Your face should be the first thing that comes into people's mind, because you are a reflection of that office, because the whole goal as servants is to turn people's hearts back to the Father, and that becomes remarkable. Now, when you look in the Old Testament, and we look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 16, Exodus 3, verse 16, one of the things you see, and I'm reading from the Easy Read version again, he said, now, this is Moses, and so the Bible in the book of Hebrews, it says that Moses was faithful in all of God's house. And when you look up those words and translate them, what it was saying was Moses was a servant, and he took care of every inch and quarter of God's house. Now, then God said to Moses, tell them I am who I am. When you go to the Israelites, tell them I am sent me to you. And God said, tell the Israelites that you were sent by Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. This will always be my name. It is how I want the people to remember me from now on. Now go and call together the elders of the people. Tell them that Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to you. Give them this message. So you're going to always find the apostolic leader giving you a message that's just not only supposed to benefit you, but it is to also be imparted in you so that you can continue to do the work of the ministry, which is why you have a covering. And this was the message from God given to the elders. I have been watching over you and have seen what the people in Egypt have done to you. And I, God, have decided that I will take you away from the troubles you are suffering in Egypt. I will lead you to the land that now belongs to the others, the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. In some cases, those names are also reflective of the seven mountains, if you will. I will lead you to a land filled with many good things. So when you are committed to the hands of the Lord, God has desires and plans, especially for you in the office of elders, to lead you and those followers to a land filled with many good things. You don't trust in the Lord, then you're not going to lead anybody to a land filled with good things. You'll be leading them into a land full of wickedness or their own way. Exodus 4, 29 says this. It says, so Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the Israelites. So you find the Israelites, you find the elders, you find them working, you find them out in the field, you find them doing the Lord's business, you find them doing so many different things, and yet when the clarion call goes out, you also find them also with an attentive ear to be gathered amongst one another. And then here the next verse says, and Aaron spoke to the people and told them everything the Lord had told Moses. Then Moses did the miracles for all the people to see, and they believed what they had heard. Then the Israelites understood that the Lord had seen their troubles and had come to help them. So they bowed down and worshiped God. And so you see this tier here. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to Aaron, and then Aaron spoke to them, and then they looked attentively towards the leader of the house and watched the miracles, and so a demonstration of power was released, and then they believed what they heard. And so once again, one of your key gifts is your eyes, your ability to be able to watch, your ability to be able to hear. Your senses become even more tuned as you are in this order in this office of elders. And thus, your heart at the end of all of this should be turned towards the Lord, because once again, that is the goal. Exodus 12, verse 21, it says, so Moses, once again, your leader, called all the elders together and told them, get the lambs for your family, kill the lambs for the Passover, take bunches of hyssop and dip them in bowls filled with blood. Paint the blood on the sides and on the top of each door frame. No one must leave their house until morning. So you're a watchman. You're standing guard. You are following the instructions. You know, you have to trust your apostolic leaders that you are submitted to, because they're not trying to steer your life in a false direction, but they're trying to steer you in a direction that harm won't come your way. Whatever area of ministry that you are put in charge over, you have to do it with the instructions given by that visionary, because they see it. They see things that sometimes, no, not sometimes, most of the times we just don't see. There are things, even as Archbishop, I don't see, and it's okay. And I'm not supposed to see everything, which is why I trust my accountability partners. I trust my leadership. And I don't have to agree with everything, but I trust it, because I can hear the voice of the Lord speaking through them. So it's never nothing personal towards them. It's always something personal probably towards God. Like, okay, Lord, what are you saying? Why are you saying it? Why are you switching? You know, and just trusting that God knows what's best. And if you can grab that concept, then you will find yourself flourishing in ways that you've never seen before. And so the leader is always leading them towards a direction of life and never death. Joshua 7:6 simply says this. Now this is with Joshua, leadership again. When Joshua heard about this, he tore his clothes to show his sadness. He bowed down to the ground before the Ark of the Covenant and stayed there until evening. The leaders of Israel, the elders of Israel, did the same thing. They also threw dirt on their heads to show their sadness. And so they was in the midst of a battle. Specific instruction was given. And when they veered from the instruction, one veered from the instruction, the whole camp suffered. And so you have to see this office of elders, this college of elders, being unified together. No man stands alone. No man is an island. We all work together. When something happens in the house, we all should feel it, because the spirit of your leader falls upon you, especially when you are in a local church. And so, you know, there's kind of that double, triple, quadra standard, if you will, because your local house has a mission and a vision as well. And when you're in the AEN, there's this global kingdom mandate that is on you as well. And they're not meant or designed to conflict with one another, but they are designed to work in unison. And so you can't be submitted to one and not submitted to the other. They have to work in unison, because God isn't the author of confusion. And so therefore they work in conjunction with one another. And because once again, the goal is to build the kingdom. And so you watch what your leaders are doing. You watch how your leaders are getting the break through, and you know, you serve at that level. There were many times I just sat back and watched. I don't know everything, nor am I the type to try to figure out everything, but I watch and I listen, and I found great valuable wisdom in doing so. When I was in the office of elder, as I walked in it, I trusted my leader. There was a book, it was called, I think, Sheep, Goats, and Wolves. And, you know, I was trying to figure out which one I was. And they had this other one that didn't highlight in the book, but it was the watchdog, if you will. And this watchdog was standing by the shepherd. And what I understood as an elder was my position. The error that I made in the process of being a watchdog is that I bit the blood of some of the sheep. And because I bit the blood, if you know anything about dogs, once they start to taste blood, they start to turn. And so one of the things as an elder I always had to watch for was making sure that I wasn't biting the blood of the sheep and getting contaminated. And so there's a level of consecration and fasting that always has to occur. There should never be a time when you're tasting blood that you turn against your leader. You allow the Holy Spirit to correct. You allow the Holy Spirit to convict. You allow the Holy Spirit to sit you down, to restore you, to replenish you. Because sometimes as watchmen over the flock, you know, you'll taste some things that God doesn't want you to taste. And it's not on purpose. Sometimes it just happens because I didn't know they was bleeding. I just know I was following a directive, and yet in going to get them, I ended up tasting something that I shouldn't have, and therefore it caused division, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to divide us so we can all say, it's me that did it and not God. But once again, the goal is always to turn the hearts of individuals back to God. I'm going to wrap up in a few minutes. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 3, it says this. This is 1 Peter 5. Now I have something to say to the elders in your group. I am also an elder. I myself have seen Christ's sufferings. So, you know, once again, this walk of Christ, you understanding Christ's sufferings. Remember, you are committed to the Lord, and so therefore your eyes should always be attentively looking in his direction. And so he says, and I will share in glory that will be shown to us. I beg you to take care of the group of people you are responsible for, or ministries that you're responsible for they are God's flock. Watch over that flock because you want to, not because you are forced to do it. That is how God wants it. Do it because you are happy to serve, not because you want the money. Don't be like a ruler over those you are responsible for, but be good examples to them. Then when Christ, the ruling shepherd, comes, you will get a crown, one that will be glorious and never lose its beauty. I'm trying to make sure I don't bust through the roof. Acts 20 simply says this. It says, you can read all of that. You can read that. Read the whole book of Acts 20, because once again, elders also receive instructions for various tasks regarding the church. For instance, they are to shepherd and to lead the flock by humility. We ought to work hard and reprove where necessary. This is according to 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13. We are to care for the spiritual and physical needs of the church. This is according to James 5. Rule the flock well, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. You ought to be sound in word. You ought to be sound in doctrine. A sound doctrine rebukes those who teach in error. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, verse 18, and Titus chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, and Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. The qualifications of an elder can be found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, through 6 through 9. And so once again, the privilege is an honor to be able to serve in the AEN, because now you have to see it ecumenically, that there are many individuals from many denominations of faith. The AEN is rich with different denominational heritages. And as a result of that, everybody believes something different. And yet we all can come together to serve the one true God and the one true Lord. And you'll find your place. There'll be many opportunities, and thus your maturity to be able to submit to the leadership and in the direction that God wants to take it, to trust your apostolic leader so that we can continue to advance the kingdom. And even as you are submitting to that and following the mission and vision of the AEN, you also have the mission and vision of what God has called you to do in your own personal ministry, as well as for some of us, the local ministries that we are submitted unto. And so, you know, elder in the AEN, you may not be looked at as an elder within your church, but it's okay. The whole goal is you can't fight who you are. And so it doesn't matter if they recognize you or not, that unction in you still should be there to serve, to watch, to be found faithful, and to understand that there is a greater picture that God hasn't planned than what we may be able to think. We're not looking for the recognition, because if you're looking for recognition, then you will get it publicly. And sometimes that recognition will look like, let's give brother, sister, so-and-so a hand. Amen. Next on the agenda. And so that recognition will come like a slap in the face. And so, you know, those are just some of the things that I just want to share that's on my heart in regards to the AEN and your involvement as you are getting elevated and watching how your fivefold gifts or the previous offices or your gifts and your talents, how they're going to intertwine and mix in with what God is getting ready to do as you are being ordained in the office of eldership. And I am excited to be a part of this 2020 class, you know, watching you, because this group is definitely a special group of individuals. And so therefore, as God is revamping, or as me and my sister was talking earlier, shaking the tree, you know, as he's shaking the tree, you know, to test the measure and the quality of the fruit that you bear, this is going to be a wonderful and a beautiful experience to see what God is going to do for the next decade, starting with you. All right, Overseer. I think I babbled enough.
Oh, thank you so much, Apostle. I'm sorry. Metropolitan Archbishop. Amen. Thank you so much. Are there any questions or concerns? You heard a lot of information. Those scriptures should be a part of your write-up, because those scriptures are identifying the role and the character that's scripturally based of the office of an elder. So make sure that you took good notes, and if you need a copy of what he says, we could actually make that available to you. All right?
Do they have the manual?
They can have that page. Hallelujah.
Overseer,
we can wait. Yes.
No, go ahead. I just wanted to say one thing before you. I know our hour is coming to an end.
Oh, go ahead.
Wanted to make sure that Elder Sharita could open that document while we were on the line.
Oh.
I did resend it in two different formats. I just want to make sure she could open that schedule while we're on the line.
Okay.
I know she received it, but was she able to see it?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Amen.
Oh, great.
Amen.
Look what he's saying. Yes.
Amen.
And
so I want you to be. Uh huh. Yeah.
This is Elder Carter. I got on late, but also had an assignment. I had an assignment
okay.
to listen to the blog talk from 312, and yes, it was recorded well. I heard everything. So everything was there from 312. It was good.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the follow-up. I appreciate that. And thereby, we can let everybody know that what they couldn't hear, didn't hear, wasn't there, they can go and get it off of Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much, Elder. That is the office of an elder. They take care of the business for the flock. So we thank God for you and for your diligence. We do want to see if Apostle KP is on the line, give her opportunity. Okay. All right. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to make sure we send her the invitation, Elder, on a weekly basis so that she's aware of when and what time we meet and where we're meeting. All right. So if there are no questions, no concerns, we do have your paperwork. Is a prophet on the line?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay. This is Pastor Yvette, and I got on late, too. I thought it was just getting ready to get started. Sorry about that. Too much going. But this is for people who are being consecrated as well?
Well, what we have done is we have given the invitation to them to listen in on our meeting until theirs are kicking in and until they get further direction from the upper college. Because a lot of the information that's going on, they still have to present that in their portfolio. So.
Okay.
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 All right. Any more questions? Good questions. Overseer, we will receive the updated documented Elder Sharita on within the upcoming days or evening of the email that was supposed to be dated for April the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. And it will list everybody's week. Not a problem. Everybody's scripture and everybody's week and when it is through July 9th, I believe. So you find your date and connect with your accountability partner and come forth with that. We got a lot of information that you need to be submitting, and next week I'll give you some examples of what was submitted in the past. And sometimes you just don't know how, to start it or present it. I can give you some information of how other candidates did it in past times. Your ministry looks, spiritual qualifications and definition of your ministry and that sort of thing. And so we'll give examples of that next week, as well as go over your new forms that are going to be due. All right. I'm sure you look over what you have so that you, if you have questions, as you just glance over it, you can bring those questions to the table at our meeting. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your presence and participation. And I pray you have a safe and blessed weekend. And if we could have someone pray and close this meeting out, a male, it would be wonderful. Yeah, Pastor Bibbins, are you still on the line with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. So if you would pray, thank you, sir.
I would happy be to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day that you have made, that we shall rejoice and we will continue to rejoice and be glad. Father, we pray that even right now as we close out this call, Father, we seal the words that have been spoken by each and every anointed voice that is a part of this organization, the candidates that are a part of this process, and all of the leaders. And, Father, as we seal it with faith, Father, we rebuke all backlash and retaliation of the enemy. We say that there is no weapon formed against the body of Christ that will be able to prosper. And even as we go through this process, Father, your presence continues to go before us. Thank you for divine protection upon each and every person that is on this phone line. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ that they are blessed in the city and the field. They are covered by your blood. The angels have charge over them to keep them in all thy ways. Before we meet again next week, Father, I pray, Father, that you will bless each and every person. Keep them safe. Lord, let them be protected with the whole armor of God. And we thank you and we give you glory and honor. It is in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Be blessed. Amen. Be a blessing.